You're tuned to WFHB.
Volunteer powered.
Listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community and supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM. Reporting live for WFHB, this is Jenna Jankowski.
And I'm Leanne Morose. This is the Daily Local News for Monday, February 12th, 2018.
But you're a Democrat.
I know.
Aren't you happy about that?
Well, the fact of the matter is I do think when you get a lot with the same people in power for a long time, it begins to feel as if you own it.
Later in the program, WFHB correspondent Michael Glab speaks with Charlotte Zitlow about the Democratic takeover of Bloomington. That's coming up on today's edition of Big Talk with Michael Glab.
Also coming up in the next half hour, WFHB's Lucy Shake speaks with Delcie Boddy about her work with Children on Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community. But first, your daily headlines.
Experts in the Centers for Disease Control and the Indiana State Department of Health are saying this year's flu season is particularly bad. On Friday, the ISDH updated their list of flu-related deaths to 167 reported individuals. Deputy State Health Commissioner and State Epidemiologist Pam Pontones says this flu season, which is measured from October 1st until mid-May, has been marked by a more difficult-to-manage flu strain.
This year has been marked by very high and widespread activity in Indiana and nationwide. This year, the predominant strain circulating is influenza A H3N2, and that particular strain can cause more severe infection, longer lasting infection, which then can result in more complications, more hospitalizations. So this has been a severe flu season.
The CDC is reporting the flu as widespread throughout the continental United States. Pontones says ISDH is urging people to get their flu shots and take basic precautions like washing your hands often.
We do track influenza deaths each year in Indiana. All influenza-associated deaths are required to be reported to public health authorities. And this year, we have seen more deaths than we have seen in recent years, especially given this time in the season.
Four flu-related deaths have been reported in Monroe County. Pantone says the CDC released enough flu vaccines so that ISDH doesn't have to worry about running out anytime soon.
We still have several weeks left in this current flu season, so it's important for everyone to take those measures and to be very proactive in staying healthy. We will continue to track information on activity each week and just, you know, practice those prevention measures. Get your flu shot if you haven't already.
Pontones says those at the highest risk of suffering fatal complications from the flu are over the age of 65. She says anyone experiencing severe flu symptoms, including shortness of breath, dizziness, and vomiting, need to see a healthcare provider immediately.
Indiana Attorney General Curtis Hill released an opinion letter last week in opposition of proposed hate crime legislation that was up for consideration by the state Senate. WFHB correspondent Jonah Chester brings us that report.
Indiana Attorney General Curtis Hill published an op-ed on hate crime legislation last week. In the piece, Attorney General Hill speaks out against recent attempts taken by Indiana legislators to pass a hate crime bill. Attorney General Hill writes that passing hate crime legislation would become a slippery slope towards policing free speech and thought. He states that, quote, "Although we can agree that hate is wrong and should be roundly discouraged, it has not been our nation's practice to criminalize thought," end quote. Hill goes on to say that hate crime legislation that focuses on criminalizing thoughts or beliefs would be, quote, inconsistent with our existing standards for criminal behavior, end quote. He also argues that hate crime bills condemn criminal acts against some and disregard criminal acts against others based on whether or not the person affected is considered to be in a protected class. Indiana is one of only 5 states in the nation that does not have any hate crime legislation. The Indiana General Assembly was considering a hate crime bill earlier this January, but the bill died in the Senate's Corrections and Criminal Law Committee before making it to a Senate-wide vote. According to a poll conducted by the Indianapolis Star, almost 2/3 of Indiana residents support the passing of hate crime legislation. Senate Republican David Long told the Star that he expects the bill to come up again for a vote in the 2019 Senate session. Reporting for WFHB, I'm Jonah Chester.
2 areas of North Bloomington could get relief from water main breaks and low water pressure in the coming months. The City of Bloomington Utilities Department is contracting with Wessler Engineering to study the area between Old State Road 37 North and Bethel Lane. The city is currently replacing its aging water delivery pipes, some of which are 100 years old. Speaking in the February 5th Utilities Service Board meeting, Utilities Engineer Jane Fleeg said water lines near Marlin Elementary School in Fairwood Terrace have been problematic for quite some time.
The school up there has trouble with pressure. We have a lot of water main breaks. This is old cast iron pipe. So we're looking for somebody to study the whole area, give us ideas on what may be our pressure problems, because we should have good pressure up there, but we don't. So something is going on that we need help discovering.
In Wessler's service proposal, the company estimates the study will take 60 days. Fleek says the engineering study could lead to a full water main replacement on Bethel Road and Old State Road 37. Arlington Road, from 17th Street to Prow Road, is already on track for a new water main. Fleek got the board's approval for a design contract with Smith Brehaben Associates to provide a topographical survey and construction plans.
Again, the same thing, older cast iron, 1950s, lot of main breaks on it. We don't have the pressure issues there, but we have a lot of main breaks that we have to deal with.
Fleek and board president Julie Roberts discussed the logistics of the project, which includes installing new water pipes along the roadway.
And where it was.
Unfortunately, you can't do that. You have to keep your customers in water. So we almost inevitably have to find a new route, which is very complicated at times because everybody else has taken up space in this limited right-of-way. But we are thinking we'll be able to move to the opposite side of the road, but that's something that they'll help us figure out with their survey.
The City of Bloomington's Utilities Department say they're working to replace the Arlington Road water main before the road is repaved later this year.
The old Hoosier Energy Building on East Ellis Road will not find new life as inpatient detox facility as some hoped. Last week, the Monroe County Board of Zoning Appeals shot down a use variance request from a company named for the old Hoosier Energy site, 190 East Ellis Road. Planning staff have twice recommended denying the variance request, first in the board's December meeting and again last week. Attorney Jim Bohr represents 190 in its waiver request. Addressing the board, he emphasized planning staff's positive findings.
The BZA staff findings have found that this is not injurious to the public health, safety, or welfare. They found that they're unable to determine whether or not there's going to be a problem with the property values, but they have found that there's going to be no problem with traffic, no problem with environment, and that there's not going to be any substantially adverse impact.
Bohr said the current zoning code presents a hardship for the petitioner because there's no zone that fits their endeavor. He adds, it's not likely the property will be developed under any of the zone's current permitted uses.
With the new restrictions imposed on trash facilities, we're unlikely to get a trash facility that would be permitted on this property. We're not going to get a wastewater treatment facility on this property. The utilities have already said they don't want this property. The government has already said they don't want this property. So there's a peculiar condition because the way the property is zoned, no one else is going to want to use this property. And if you mandate that this be residential, you're only going to be able to build one house on it under the present zoning.
Area residents have been vocal in opposing a detox facility at the old Hoosier Energy site. Marie Long told the board she had safety concerns.
My great concern is our neighborhood, and I realize these people have problems. But there is other places, there's a lot of them listed where they could get their treatments. They don't necessarily have to come to a little quiet neighborhood like we have. Our elderly people, and I'm one of them, we walk our dogs. My place is nearby them. I will not feel safe to go in my backyard because they can escape from the best institutions there is. These people do escape.
Attorney Bohr said arrangements were already made for security. Further, he argued that the type of patient the facility would draw should be irrelevant.
If it were an eye center, if it were a heart institute, they wouldn't have had the same objections.
County resident Larry McConaughey offered a rebuttal during public comment.
The one thing that neighbors and I have discussed that's really important is that we can all stipulate that at least 90% of them, that our objections are not against the need for a drug treatment facility in this county. There's obviously a need for that. The problems we have is having a high intensive use facility of any kind, you know, in that particular building.
The board's vote on the variance was tied 2-2 in December. Last week, 3 of 4 zoning board members took staff recommendation and voted to deny the variance request. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Jenna Jankowski.
And I'm Leanne Morose. The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. They are found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
Charlotte Zitlow and a band of ragtag newcomers took over the city of Bloomington in a surprise local election victory in 1971. It was the first election in the nation after passage of the 26th Amendment, calling for the 18-year-old vote in all elections. City Council President Zitlow and crew changed the face of Bloomington politics and shaped the city we know today. She spoke about the election victory on last week's Big Talk. Today, she talks about the work she and her colleagues did after the election on Big Talk Extra. Big Talk airs every Thursday at 5:30 p.m., immediately after the Daily Local News.
So we won, and then we had a list of things we said we would do, and then we did them. And we did more. We did more than that. For example, not anticipating this at all, we were definitely one of the earliest placed people in the state to include sexual orientation as part of our human rights ordinance. We did that in 1975.
That's way before most anybody else
even thought of it. Yes, yeah. We created a commission on the status of women, and we created an environmental commission with teeth. Actually, the environmental commission turned out to be a very important part of what we did because the focus on clean water and preservation of nature was just beginning to be really current.
Yeah.
And we engaged that fully. It was just very important that the environment suddenly was really something we had to preserve. Lake Monroe, we got everything in place. We, you know, as I said, we abolished patronage. We didn't like it. We all agreed we didn't like it. We didn't like the idea of people being tested for loyalty.
Yeah.
We understood the need to have people, department heads work well with you if you're the mayor. We council people were not the executive branch. We were the legislative branch. Yeah. But we also knew that we had something to say about that. And so we really pushed the idea of professionalization, which was important. We got a certified city engineer, for example, and a trained planner, somebody who'd really had training and experience in planning communities. We got an experienced utilities director, and so forth and so on. We hired a real lawyer. We had the city had only had a part-time lawyer on retainer. He was a very good lawyer, Jim Cotner, but he was only there as needed. Right. And when you don't know enough about the law, you don't know when you need a lawyer. Initially, our meetings were pretty long. Mm-hmm. I had to learn how to tighten up and run a meeting, which with time I did. But we had some very, very long and rather scraggly meetings to start with, and of course,
and you were actually listening to,
yes,
the voice of the people.
Absolutely,
there, yeah, were public comment, yep, sessions and so forth.
One of the big things we did was the woman who ran for clerk agreed to this, and this was important because one of the jobs of the city clerk was to record the minutes of the meetings.
Uh-huh.
And I had read the minutes of the previous meetings, and I couldn't figure out why people were voting for such things. I couldn't figure out. The minutes were very sketchy. It was basically just the votes and who voted which way and so forth.
Right.
And I said, this is the history of the community, these minutes. We don't have much written history of these issues.
Yeah.
But this is a real recording of the decision-making of the city, and so we want good minutes. Well, the minutes of the meetings since that time are verbatim.
Wow.
So you can really find out what the arguments and what the discussion and who said what and why they said it in the minutes of the council meetings. And we've got a pretty good history of the city of Bloomington if you read the council minutes.
Today, the elective offices in Bloomington, correct me if I'm wrong, mm-hmm, they're all held by Democrats.
In the city, they are, absolutely.
Is that okay?
No, I don't think so.
You're a Democrat.
I know.
Aren't you happy about that?
Well, the fact of the matter is, I do think when you get a lot of the same people in power for a long time, it begins to feel as if you own it.
Yeah.
And I think it's a real danger. I think you should. Nobody elected to office owns the seat.
Is that happening now?
I think so. Yeah, I do think so. I think there's a real sense of, you know, this is our government and, you know, we'll do with it what we will, instead of remembering that that our public servants serve at the pleasure of the public.
Uh-huh.
And that we really are the instruments of the public and not the other way around. So when I see people treated with some condescension at council meetings, for example, that bothers me a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. And I think that we should remember that. You know, it's not for us that we're there. I'm speaking as a public official. We're there for you.
Now, the book that you have written, and you're in the process of doing revisions and,
yeah,
so forth, does it have a title?
I think it does. This is my working title. We did this.
We
did this. And the point of that, and the reason I'm writing it, is to remind people that ordinary human beings can change things. You know, if you work hard at it, if you do your homework, if you focus, if you do hard work, if you know what you're doing, if you listen, and I think listening is highly underrated and undersold. If you listen to what's going on around you, you can connect with people, and you can make sure that the concerns of people are being heard.
Charlotte, I know I'm not going to embarrass you by saying this because you don't think in these terms, but you're turning 84 this year.
Am I?
Are you?
Yes.
Isn't it time to retire from being involved in all this stuff, or will that ever happen?
Well, I'm still a citizen.
Uh-huh.
I'm alive and I can think. You know, I would say the same thing to a 19-year-old, wherever you are. This is a democracy. A democracy requires thinking, caring individuals to make it work. Otherwise, it devolves into the hands of a few, and that's not a democracy.
That was Charlotte Zitlow speaking with Big Talk's Michael Glab. Tune in on Thursdays at 5:30 to hear full episodes of Big Talk.
Support for WFHB comes from Lauren Wood Builders. Lauren Wood Builders is a family-owned company that sources local materials and local craftsmen to minimize environmental impact and sustain community. More information is available online at laurenwoodbuilders.com.
Now it's time for Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community.
Welcome to Activate, featuring tales of inspiration from local citizens who stand up for what they believe in and encouraging you to find your cause, live your passion, make a difference. Volunteer.
My name is Mrs. Delcy Body, and I'm the organization of Cry of the Children, Incorporated. The high school kids named this Cry of the Children because they would talk to me, I could hear them, and I listened, and then I proceeded on. In this program, what we do, when we bring in our volunteers, I'm thinking I'm bringing in volunteers to serve, but I'm really bringing in volunteers to see and receive. And it is the most amazing thing. When we first started, we had 6 black girls that were in elementary school. And I used to tell my father, I understand when you say, if you need me, call me. They went all the way up to high school, and I gave them that statement. When they got to high school, they were big, you know, whatever. They couldn't be cheerleaders, they couldn't be pomps, and they had no place. So they went to the principal, and they asked for the step team. And then also in the community, a group of women, their grandparents and stuff, they said, I know who can help you, and that was me. And so we started the step team with 6 girls, and we were really, really good. What step does for people, the 6 girls now are, one is, she'll be finished in May for our RN nursing degree. Another one has a leading ladies program in Indianapolis. And then my other young lady, she's in Michigan working for General Motors. And then I have one working here in MCC. Also, I have another one working for the city. And these are all young ladies from what they call broken homes, no fathers, no whatever. They had it hard, and they survived. And that's what it does. Here's 6 girls that may be displaced somewhere, somehow. And so what you reach out is try to instill in them how valuable they are, and they need to figure it out who they are. So whatever it is that they need, we try our best to supply. Because when they come over to Cry to Children, there is no pity party. You know, the rules are here, they have to be. Just giving and loving and understanding and hearing what they have to say. My mother was the best mother in the world. And as I grew up, my mother said when she found out I was doing this, that's all I ever did in the neighborhood. I was combing hair, I was doing this and stuff. But it's so important for kids to be valued at all costs, at all colors, sizes, and whatever. They need a voice, and I'm that voice. They need to be heard. Thanks for listening. I am Mrs. Delcy Body with Cry of the Children.
You may visit the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network website to see a full organization profile at bloomington.in.gov/volunteer. Now here's a rundown of current volunteer opportunities in Bloomington and Monroe County.
For the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, I'm Lucy Shake with 3 featured volunteer opportunities for the week. It's spring campaign time at WTIU, your local PBS member station, from March 3rd through 20th. Volunteers are needed to answer the phones and take pledges during programs at Studio 6 on the IU campus. Bring your phone and computer skills to help support independent local public television. Or join the Monroe County Sheriff's Reserve Division as a reserve deputy sheriff. Previous law enforcement experience is not required, but you must be at least 21 years old, meet other eligibility requirements, and successfully complete a 180-hour training academy. Applications are accepted through March 11th. And finally, Big Brothers Big Sisters is seeking adult community members to make meaningful, monitored matches as a big to an unmatched child needing a positive, supportive, one-on-one relationship. This is the perfect opportunity to have a direct and lasting effect on the life of a young person. And that's a look at just some of the ways you can connect to your community through volunteering. For WFHB and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, I'm Lucy Shake.
You've been listening to Activate, a co-production of WFHB and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, working together to build an empowered, vibrant, and engaged community. You may visit bloomington.in.gov/volunteer to find and sign up for local volunteer opportunities. All episodes of Activate are available online at wfhb.org/news/activate. For Bloomington Community Radio, I'm Jennifer Brooks.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Wes Martin, Jonah Chester, and Sarah Vaughn, in partnership with CATS, Community Access Television Services. Our feature was produced by Michael Glab.
Activate is produced by Lucy Shake from the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network. Our engineer is Chris Martin. Our theme music was produced by Ben Lumsdane, Scott Schmadke, and Danny Graff. Executive producer is Wes Martin. For WFHB, I'm Leanne Morose.
And I'm Jenna Jankowski. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. You can hear tonight's full broadcast, as well as all other WFHB news programming online at WFHB.org.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. For more information about joining our volunteer team of citizen journalists, email news@wfhb.org.
Stay tuned for KiteLine, a program amplifying the voices of those within Indiana's prison system. Coming up next on WFHB.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB Bloomington Community Radio. Our news is written and reported by volunteers working to provide local news, cover local issues, and strengthen our local community. We invite you to participate. You may submit questions, comments, and story ideas to news@wfhb.org. You can become a daily local news volunteer by attending new volunteer orientation. You can find an archive of past shows and individual news reports online at wfhb.org and catch live broadcast of the Daily Local News Monday through Thursday at 5 p.m. We are local, longer.